Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. The list of folks who are sick with serious things is very long, and the list is also long of folks with illnesses that keep them out of church and keep them away from work and things like that. Our church is graying. We're getting older, you know, and thank God we still have a good many younger people, and we have to keep that if the church is going to survive, because us old folks, you know, get to where we can't drive at night, and we have a nice service on Thursday morning. Brother Bob speaks. Had a good crowd this past week, and can't be here on Wednesday night for a midweek prayer meeting. Brother Bob speaks on Thursday morning, and we go over the prayer list again then. And for all of you watching at home live streaming, if you're on the prayer list, we remember you regularly to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help you. Colossians 3 and verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. Father, bless your word today, I pray, to the hearts of your people. And we pray, Lord, if anyone hears the message that is not yet saved, that they might see the great importance of humbling themselves before God and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the power to save them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alden Gannett was president of the London Bible College in Ontario, Canada. And he was also an associate professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He wrote, in an age of fanatical cults, false teachers, and mindless consumerism, the letter to Colossae is vital for believers to see the preeminence of Christ, to see Christ's importance, to see him exalted in first place, the preeminence of our Savior. Christ deserves every right to live his life through us, because he gave his life for us that we might be saved. But Paul wrote to Timothy, a companion of spiritual training, to be committed to faithful men. If you want to turn over, if not, just listen and I'll read it to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read several verses. Verse 1 through 3, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In verse 10 through 19, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In Colossians chapter 3, we've seen this whole chapter studied, several messages in chapter 3, and this most likely be the last one in chapter 3. We're instructed to Christian behavior in this chapter. Christian behavior that includes or requires that we make the changes in ourselves that are needed to be made. Once we come to know Christ as Savior, we should live for Him and serve Him. As we study the Scripture, as we go to church, as we become involved in becoming a spiritual person, it makes changes in our lives. We need changes in the church. Sadly, in this day and time, the churches have gone away from the strict teaching of the Scripture. They have watered down the Bible. They have changed the versions to the point that now when the Scripture is read in a public place, you don't even know what it is because it's not from the versions that we are familiar with. It's from something new that's come along. In the home and the family, there must be changes made to live the Christian life because home is a little slice of heaven. That's as close as we're going to get to heaven is being in a good church and being in a good Christian home. And we see what God does. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, the Scripture says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, because ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." God help us to walk as children of light, to recognize that we were delivered from the kingdom of darkness that we were in. We were on our way to hell, but God saved us and changed us and delivered us from the past life and gave us power to live for Him and to serve Him. He has translated us into the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of light and not darkness. This world is becoming darker and darker all the time. Evil and sin and crime and ungodliness is just everywhere that you read news or see the news. We have become partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we need to let all who we know, all our family, all our people, all the people we work with, all the people we are connected with, we need to let them know and see that Christ is living in us and that we are living because of Christ, that we have a joy that the unsaved people do not have, that we have a peace that the unsaved people do not have, that we have an understanding of how to teach our children that the unsaved will not have. Let us be known by all as believers of God, that we study His holy word, that we seek to be Christians, meaning Christ-like ones, in our behavior from day to day, also called the saints of God. I never refer to myself as a saint of God. Collectively, we are the saints of God. But I don't feel worthy, but Christian is the same word. I mean, it means the same basic thing. And we identify ourselves in that way. We seek to please God. who loved us and gave His Son to die for us, and now we have a love for Him and a desire to serve Him and please Him because of all He's done for us. We should not just sit back and enjoy the blessings of knowing that we're going to heaven and do absolutely nothing in service to God and to reach out to the unsaved that are all around us. We must avoid and abstain fleshly sins that beset us in our Christian life. Putting off the old man, the old deeds, what we were before we were saved. Chapter 3, verse 5 of Colossians said, mortify, put to death those members upon earth. And he lists this long list of sinful ways of living. And then he says we are to put on, in verse 10, the new man that is created in the image, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. God created Adam and Eve in His own likeness and His own image. He created man after His own image, and then He created woman from man. And we are to live for God and serve God, and the Holy Spirit is to work through us by the study of the Word of God to help us to be conformed to His image and not the image of the things of this world. Colossians 3:10, we've put on the new man, and now we're seeking to be in the image of God as God made us holy and beloved. He has given us a heart of mercy. He has given us the characteristics of Himself, His attributes. So we reveal as a Christian a heart of mercy like God has a heart of mercy, kindness like God is kind, humbleness of mind like God is to us, meekness like Moses was. It was a therapy. His meekness was therapeutic, the Bible says, to those that He ministered unto. Long-suffering, to suffer long, tolerating one another, forgiving one another, revealing in our daily lifestyle the love that God has had for us that we in turn should have for Him and for other people. Now verse 18, he directs specific Christian duties that are to be heartily done as unto the Lord. The wives he mentions first, that they are to submit themselves unto their own husbands. Christian life feeds on the Word of God, and the peace and the Holy Spirit working through us comes by our yieldedness or submission unto God. All of us, male and female, we are to submit to God and His Word. And as we do, we have specific events in our life that refer to a chain of events and a chain of responsibility unto the Lord. The wife has a responsibility to her husband. The husband has a responsibility to love his wife. We both have the responsibility to submit to the Word of God and do what God has taught us. God has given us a power to live for Him that we did not have before we got saved. I was a serious drinker before I was saved. I grew up in the home of an alcoholic, and I was following the same path. I knew it was wrong. I tried to quit drinking numerous times. When God saved me, He gave me a power I didn't have before. And I walked away from it, and I've never had another drink since that day. And that was a long time ago. You say, are you tempted to drink? Really, no, I have not been tempted to drink. I'm not a perfect man. I'm a sinner who's been saved by the grace of God. And I still have temptations for many things, but I have no temptation to smoke anymore. I have no temptation to drink anymore. God took those away from me, and I'm thankful to Him for that. It took a power. It took the power of God. We have a new purpose that God has given us to live for Him and serve Him, to do what we do in His name. We have a new pattern for godly living. Conduct in the family in the Christian marriage, in the home. These things are, home should be like a little slice of heaven. You go out here in the world, it's like going to the war zones, and then you get to come home and get away from all of that and sit back and watch a Western. Eat with your family and take those things away and have a love relationship. Submission seen in the home and marriage where we can't pretend with the home. They know us. They know all about us. They know if we're acting real or not, or if we're just putting on for the moment. Out in the public, people don't know that one way or the other, but they know at home. Are we putting on the image of God in the person of Christ? God help us that we do that. Submission is natural in a love relationship. We get started in a love relationship. I mean, a boy will ride a bicycle for 10 miles to get to stand in the yard and talk to a girl he likes that he met at school, he's seen on the bus, or saw in the neighborhood or at church or something like that. And then after they get married for a year or two, you can't get him to walk across the street and do something for his wife, you know. Husband told his wife, "Honey, I love you more than the whole world." She said, "Do you love me enough to wash dishes tonight?" How much do we love and submit? After we've been saved for a while, if we aren't careful, we stop doing the maintenance on that relationship that we used to do when we first got married. Submission is evidenced in Christ in His life toward the Father. He submitted Himself to do everything that God would have Him to do. Can you identify with the Lord Jesus knowing what He was facing going to the cross, praying and weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." We are asked to do things that we don't like to do, but we do them because it's what's best for our family. It's what's best for our testimony. It's what's best for the church. It's what's best for the Lord. Submission does not imply inferiority. Women are in no sense lesser than a man because her role in the chain of authority from God to man to the woman to the home to the children, that is God's choosing. And God has reasons for that. And He's explained some of those in the Scripture. But it does not imply inferiority. Submission to a man from a woman is not absolute because men make mistakes. We don't want our wife to follow us in sin or follow us in doing wrong. How is it that people who've been saved and baptized and read their Bible can go to church and refuse to do the things that the Bible teaches? Don't attend faithfully. Don't live the Christian life when they're away from the church. Don't give back to God what's expected of them from the Scripture. I'll tell you exactly how that happens. Judges 17:6 said, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Psalm 81:12, "So I gave them up unto their own hearts and lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You see, we have a problem that we want to do what we want to do. And we begin to find excuses for not doing what God would have us to do. "Cease from thine own wisdom," Proverbs 23:4. "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool," Proverbs 28 says. "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The word fool is the word Nabal in the Hebrew, and it means not one who is mentally challenged. but one who is morally corrupt. And that's why the fool denies the Lord. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own. We think of a love relationship, we think about what's in it for us. But the Bible teaches love is sacrificial giving to another for their good and for their benefit. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, Philippians 2:21. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, 2 Timothy 3. Jude warned about those murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. That's what happens as we begin to live doing what we want to do. What pleases us. We'll say, it's my life. I can make the choices I want to make. Yeah, and you're going to pay the consequences for the stupid choices that you make too. Why would I talk to you like that? Because I've done exactly the same thing and paid for it. Submission is not absolute because we make many mistakes. We lead people in the wrong way sometimes because of the flesh. Authority carries responsibility to be a loving leader. A husband is to show love, to sacrifice for the wife and the children. And this is a continuous thing. He is to continually love his wife, not just the first year or the first 2 years that you're married. In our relationship, we must avoid bitterness and anger. And we're taught, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In that way, we deal with what is wrong between us. We talk. We work it out. We don't continue to dwell on it. It's important we work on our relationship as a husband and a wife, and that we seek to fill our role as a godly man, a godly woman. Children are to obey their parents. It is the first commandment given of the Ten Commandments that is given with promise. In the Old Testament, it was given that they would live long in the land of Canaan that was given unto them if they obeyed their parents. But in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says that children are to obey their parents, they might live long on the earth. So if you want long life, then obey your mother and father. New Testament teaching on long life comes from obedience. Your way of being well-pleasing unto the Lord is to obey Him, to do what He's asked of us to do. Parents, kids can get discouraged if discipline is not loving and if it is inconsistent. If we get mad about one thing one time and don't another time, that children don't know how to respond to that. Parents say, I love my kids too much to punish them. If you love them enough, you will discipline them when they do wrong, to teach them, to train them, to help them to know right from wrong. And the best thing you can do is sit down and pray with them after you have to talk with them or discipline them because of wrongdoing that they have done. Sometimes parents want control over their family. Control can be an enemy. Controlling people in any way you can, through discipline, through buying things for them, so that you can have your way. It's more important that we seek to have God's way. And God's way is spelled out in the Scripture for us. It is a problem, as Jacob was, that favoritism causes dissension between the ranks of the children, discourages others. Discourage kids by humiliating them or embarrassing them in front of others, or setting unrealistic goals for them, failing to show affection to them, discouraging them if you don't provide for their needs. I don't mean provide for their wants. We all are human and we all read and see TV, and we want what we see. The heart wants what the eye sees. The eye is the opening for all those desires to come about. If you leave children to raise themselves, then don't be surprised if they neglect to be obedient and do what they should do. Be careful about being critical, excessive discipline, or no discipline at all. We ought to have a desire to obey God because we know we can trust Him. We know He loves us, and we should want to please Him and believe that He will bless us and protect us and provide for us, and that His way is what is best for me. And submission means that I need to obey God. Husband, love your wife. Present tense imperative. Continuous action, loving your wife. That is a love of choice, not a love of passion. You should love your wife passionately. But first, you should love your wife as a choice with God. That I choose to love her because God has told me so. It requires self-sacrifice. It requires not allowing bitterness to crop up. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Sit down together and talk and get what's bothering you out in the open. A lot of times when I have something bothering me and I talk about it, all of a sudden it doesn't sound like it ought to be bothering me that bad as it was bothering me. The devil was using it to stir me in a passion of anger or resentment. And occasionally I get good counsel from someone else that's not a big problem. God can solve that. And He certainly can. He's the one who has all power. He's the one in authority over us. He's the one who loves us and gave His Son for us. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy to us. We thank You for Your word today. We pray that You'd bless in the hearts and lives of Your people. If there's someone not yet saved, Lord, we pray for them to come and be saved. We pray for Your people to surrender themselves in submission unto You to obey Your word and to one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.